The elements are very active today.
They're all coming. The wind and the water and the fire and the air and all of it. The earth is getting moist and drinking. Extraordinary. No, I'm not, but thank you. I listened to the recording from yesterday. It sounded a bit vacuous, so I thought today I would use this. Let the stream of blessings, we say flowing from above, but really flowing 360 degrees around us, but allow the magnetism of our palms to draw those blessings here as we say the Sufi invocation together of Hazrat Inayat Khan towards the one, the perfection of love, harmony and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Now take that blessing and pour it over yourself. Murshid would say, at the end of every prayer, you cup your hands really here and you do the Ameen like this. This is Inayat Khan's teachings. And he'd give the instructions to put your hands out like this. It's as if a bird's getting ready to take flight. It's a lovely gesture. Every gesture very significant that he gives us. All right, so we're continuing today on from Sufi Message Volume 5, The Phenomenon of the Soul, The Soul's Experience by Hazrat Inayat Khan. As a matter of review, should we have a pop quiz?
Oh, yeah.
I'm in trouble.
Things you remember, those of you that were here yesterday, things that you that kind of resonated and kept going over and over again. Any points of Guyon?
Resonated for me was that where the soul goes back into the foundation of the energy of the universe,
mm-hmm.
and the individuality is in that. It where's the body, and I'm always interested in this topic.
Yeah, Imersha tells us that those things that we've gathered around us on the earth plane forms an individuality, that the soul's journey backward, back to its source, brings with it. It's interesting philosophically when we think about it, because we could extrapolate that in many ways. Okay, and Savitri?
And also for me, the rhythm and how the natural tendency is to improve upon itself,
yeah.
by doing more.
Doing more. And we've heard a lot about that subject during this camp. And of course, it's the theme, everyday life, how we do that in our everyday life. More isn't necessarily better. And we experienced that a bit when we performed the Wazifa Yahai together. There was that natural tendency to want to speed up with it, which is, you know, it makes a little sense. It's the mantra of life, and, you know, we get energized from it. But if we keep that self-contained, what can happen from within is also very beautiful. It's this natural idea that we want to express everything, but from the Vedic guru disciple prayer, may I be self-contained in my patience, is a beautiful line to reflect upon. May I be self-contained in my patience. Rhythm and breath, they're like the two tracks. And you reestablish sort of the course of one's life in many ways by establishing the rhythm or reestablishing the rhythm. Okay, anyone else? Ali Cotter.
I had just refreshed a Kabir poem last week. Got out the book and was reading some of those. And he kind of made fun of the Hindus and the Muslims and everybody. But one of them, kind of paraphrasing, was wear your hair matted up on top of your head and let it grow long. Eat nothing but vegetables. Count your beads. And I tell you, O yogi, you're going to the next world bound hand and foot.
I like your quote. You always quote the third patriarch of Zen, you know.
Oh, that has no sentimentality. There's nothing left.
Yeah, but about no preferences and no,
well,
yeah.
The great way is
not difficult for those.
With no preferences.
With no preferences.
I need these.
Attachments. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
I always think that here in the embodied plane, we're just getting divine information and bringing it here. But it sounds like, but also when we return, we're taking information from this existence
yes.
back there too.
Yes.
It's like there's a communication happening both ways.
Yeah.
But I've been thinking about that a lot. That's a new idea.
Oh, that's wonderful, Lima. Thank you. And you know, it makes us consider the possibility that things are not that linear. They're all happening right here, right now. And it's a matter of attunement or tuning, you know, what we're tuning into. It's interesting. So thank you for bringing that up. Safiya?
One thing struck me yesterday was when he said, we come here with nothing and we take back. And I always thought we kind of came here with something. So, I mean, it was kind of a relief, really.
Yeah, a do-over. A do-over, yeah. Command Z, right? Yeah, we get a do-over. Well, one wonders about that, too. There's some other intimations in the teaching. Anything else? Can I remind us of a few points and then we'll go forward? What was our practice, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay. So, a couple key points. All souls return to God, some with open eyes, some blindly. Every moment of this life is an opportunity whose value is so great that all the pains, all the troubles, all the sorrow of existence would be too small a price for even one moment of life. Even one moment of life. It makes us think about all these circumstances where maybe life is shortened in some way. But one moment of life. It's like the Buddhists say, you know, the opportunity to come to incarnate in this life is like a blind turtle in a vast ocean looking for a ring through which to raise its head. that that's how rare this human birth is and how precious it is. Imagine that. Quite extraordinary. Even for one moment. Murshid says later in that teaching, the condition of the soul can turn any place into heaven. The condition of the soul can turn any place into heaven. And we talked about that, how these beings can have such a great influence, even in areas of despair or devastation. Is Habib here? He gave me a little book. It's really a novel, but it's very sweet. It's called The Dalai Lama's Cat. Has anyone read it? You have it? Well, it's interesting because it talks about this little kitten that was a Himalayan kitten, and these little boys found this nest of kittens that their mother had put them in a burlap sack in the market, and they thought, opportunity to make some rupees, right? So they took all these kittens who were too young to be removed from their mother, and they sold the most hefty, healthy-looking ones, and there were two left, and one was nearly dead, actually, and the Dalai Lama's motorcade is caught in traffic in New Delhi and sees this whole thing going on with these two little kittens, and one like fell on its back, and then they kind of kicked it into a mud puddle, and you know, and then they wrapped it in a newspaper, and it was like I was suffocating, and the Dalai Lama sent his attendant. He had just returned from a teaching in the United States, and he had $2 bills. And of course, the little boys were very happy to give this nearly dead little kitten to the attendant. And then all of a sudden, the little kitten is in the Dalai Lama's lap. They're dripping milk in his lips, and he's looking into these compassionate eyes. And so the story's about his life with His Holiness. But how sweet is that? It's another example of how we can bring joy and love and compassion and generosity, you know, the perfections, the gate par sam gate bodhisvaha, the six perfections into existence. His Holiness is certainly an example of that. Just a glance or a smile from someone like that changes you, you know? The condition of the soul can turn any place into heaven. Like this little kitten was in hell, and then it was in heaven. Not only the earth, but even hell can be turned into heaven. If only the soul attained the perfection, which is its only goal. Only goal. The perfection of love towards the One. The perfection of love, harmony, and beauty. And then he closes with saying, nothing that we really value can be put off till tomorrow. What one puts off, one does not value enough. So here, you know, we could suggest, perhaps, I want to tell a story, but I'm going to turn this off for a moment.